people talking bad about the way we have to live here in this country. Harping on wars we fight and griping about the way things ought to be. And I don't mind them switching sides and standing up for things they believe in. When they're running down my country, man, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting and falling down to me. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. And you're running down my country, man, you're walking on the fighting side of me. The guy who claims he just don't believe in fighting. And I wonder just how long the rest of us can count on being free. They love our milk and honey, but they preach about some other way of living. When they're running down my country horse, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking down with life, I'm fighting in a fought and died. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. When you run down my country, man, you're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down with life, I'm if you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. When you run down my country, man, you're walking on the fighting side of me.
Yes, when you're running down my country, you're walking down the fighting side of me. And that's the name of this program here, White Resistance Radio. .com, while lots more news and views for our people. And of course, excuse me, those are the European founding settler people of the Dominion of Canada, the United States of America, the Dominions of Australia, New Zealand, the Republic of South Africa, Rhodesia, and all of you who may be listening this morning in the European heartland. Well, this is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me. Got lots of outrages today, and I don't want to sound like an old guy, but sometimes I really think the world's gone crazy. But I think even a lot of young people feel that too, that there's something seriously wrong. And you almost want to say, well, where to begin? I'm recording this on Sunday, the 10th November, and tomorrow is our Remembrance Day in Canada. It actually is the same in most of the Commonwealth, and actually in the Anglosphere, the English-speaking world. In the United States, it's called Memorial Day, and in Britain, actually, the commemoration was today, Sunday. Anyway, this is a Memorial Day, or I should say a Veterans Day, or in our case, a Remembrance Day story. The story, of course, Remembrance Day, sometimes called Armistice Day, is named after the agreement which took effect 11/11/11 at the 11th hour on the 11th day of the 11th month, 1918. And it was the agreement to cease fire that ended the First World War. Now, on a previous show, I just discussed what a scam
that was, or what a fraud it was. Yes, the guns did fall silent, and the great genocidal, fratricidal war among white nations had come to an end. But it was really only a timeout, it would begin again because of the horrible, peace conditions arrived the next May in 1919 at Versailles, the so-called Versailles Treaty. Anyway, that, to some extent, that's another story. What we have here in Canada is a story of insane political correctness. I've entitled this More LGBTQ Tyranny. A 17-year-old Manitoba girl was suspended for defending the red and black poppy. That's right, the traditional symbol of the Remembrance Day is the poppy, and probably because of the very popular poem in Flanders Fields, "The Poppies Grow," that was actually written by a Canadian. Sometimes it's even called Poppy Day. And the Royal Canadian Legion sells poppies, and it's a very popular way of celebrating the day. This is the story. This is a Manitoba girl. Has been suspended for several days from a school in rural Manitoba, the young girl was asked to wear the red and black poppy traditional to the Manitoba Remembrance Day the school's Remembrance Day festivals. And the story goes, Ciara, this is from Ciara Bird, said, she was on the ballot in the Churchill Kwatnikaski riding in the recent federal election. And her cousin, another student, had been suspended for hate speech after rejecting the idea that rainbow poppies should replace the traditional red and black ones worn during their school's Remembrance Day ceremonies. The young woman, who's actually half of Negro descent, asked instead to wear the traditional red and black poppy, and she found the rainbow poppy disrespectful to World War II veterans in her family. Upon expressing her opinion, she and another student who shared her sentiment were sent to the principal's office. According to Bird, the girl's parents were not informed until after the suspension was applied. So you're out of here! And the principal accusing her of a hate speech. The young woman had also attempted to record the school administrators scolding her by using her cell phone, but they noticed and they confiscated her phone in response. you think you're in school? You think you're in a prison? Well, actually, you're in school. Speaking to the post-millennial, Bird said of her cousin, this is her cousin's name is Natalie. Natalie had attempted to record the suspension orders in her voice memos application, wanting to show her parents what was happening. When the school principal saw her cell phone was snatched away, and she was told that there would be consequences if she posted about the suspension on social media or went to the press. So, this is, of course, typical thuggery and bullying. We're going to hurt you. We're going to punish you. But if you mention it to anybody, it's going to be worse for you. Natalie would not be allowed to go to school for a number of days and should be allowed to return on this coming Tuesday. And this woman who'd been a Conservative Party candidate wrote at 70, it's going to affect, well, might affect Natalie's self-esteem. At 70, you're growing into yourself. You're learning to speak out about things you think are wrong. What kind of message does this send to a young woman? That they are not supposed to speak out against anything, against something they disagree with? Rainbow poppies were introduced as a concept in 2016 by some LGBTQ lobby groups. They say it's to honor LGBT veterans, homosexual veterans. But it's caused controversy amongst those who say it's unnecessary, with the red poppy honoring all veterans. Of course, that's the case. The red poppy honors all veterans. It doesn't say only heterosexual veterans or only really any other group. It's all. I mean, all veterans who serve, regardless of their ethnicity, their race, their language, their religion, if any, etc., etc. The young girl wrote the following statement. I'm going to read it to you. This is what the principal, she and her friend put out a little pamphlet about where they stood. This was denounced as, you got it, hate speech. And they would be suspended for hate speech and threatened not to go to, threatened that worse would happen if they went to put anything up on the social media or went to the media. Anytime that a punishment has to be secret, it should be a red light warning that there's something amiss here. This is what she said. Never seen anything so disrespectful in all my days. What does LGBTQ have to do with the war? Red represents blood. Black represents widows and loved ones. Green represents land the blood was spilled on. Never change the poppy. Now, some of our traditional poppies here have the red flower, a black heart, not a heart, but a black circle in the middle, at the center, and sometimes a little bit of green over part of the black, and then the pin goes in, and that's the poppy. That's what she said. That's the way this young lady, Natalie, interprets the symbolism. And she's right. Way to undo centuries of blood, sweat, and tears, all because you needed to do the dishes. I don't know quite what that means. Keep it in your pants. Nobody needs or wants to see it. So I think here, in her way, she's trying to see, keep sexuality or sexual orientation out of this whole Remembrance Day thing and the poppies. She continues, you've got a whole month dedicated to the LGBTQ community. That's June is Gay Pride Month. Well, the people who legitimately made a difference and died so that we could live decent lives have one day. You don't need a poppy. You just clearly want attention. One day you remember the real heroes. How about we don't make it all about your sexuality for once? If you don't make such a big deal about it and force people to make it part of their lives, there would be no problems. Now, of course, it's got the typical high school misspelling. I won't critique that because you can't see it, but it very, very clearly comes from a student. Her cousin says, my 17-year-old cousin was suspended today. Want to know why? Her choir teacher was demanding that the choir wear rainbow poppies during their performance in the Remembrance Day ceremony. She, that's the cousin, Natalie, and another student rejected the idea, and both were suspended for hate speech. And this comes from Ciara Byrd, who ran for the Conservative Party in the last election. And Ciara Byrd also continues it. This is a message sent to me from my uncle, that's my cousin's father. The school was trying to hush her about it, and they literally both screamed at her, that's the principal and the vice principal, as she tried to voice record them on her phone, and they took it away from her. Speaking, and this was at Stonewall Collegiate in Stonewall, Manitoba, which is up near near Churchill. And the post-millennial tried to reach out to Stonewall Collegiate, but was told that they would not provide comments to the media, aggressively advising us to Google the number for the superintendent before hanging up. The Interlake School Board superintendent did not return calls. The statement issued on the board's Twitter read that no staff member mandated a student wear a rainbow poppy. And they didn't comment on the suspensions or whatever. And that's typical bureaucracy. I mean, it really is tyranny. This is something a lot of people, including the Canadian Association for Free Expression, have rallied to the young girl's support. That is particularly find mischievous, the principal's accusation that the girl speaking out, and I read you what she wrote in a pamphlet she circulated, apparently, was hate speech. Now, hate speech is highly inflammatory as an accusation, and you hear that a lot. That's hate speech. We allow free speech is not hate speech. Okay, what is hate speech? I would suggest you'd have trouble answering that. Not because you're stupid or anything, but because it doesn't have a definition. Literally, if somebody is accused of having committed hate speech, I would say, legally, unless they had been charged, tried, and then convicted of violating Section 319 of the Canadian Criminal Code, that's Canada's notorious so-called hate law, they have not uttered hate speech. That is simply an accusation. And what it means, you see, usually, when you hear the accusation, that's hate speech, or we can't allow that group to meet because there might be hate speech. What it means is speech that the accuser hates. See, in Canada, most people are vaguely aware that willfully promoting hatred, and there are defenses in that, is contrary to the law. So translated down into cultural Marxist propaganda, it has come to be just this broad general accusation of hate speech. That's hate speech. And it often silences people. People say, well, gee, Lord, I don't want to go to jail, or I don't want to say anything, I just better be quiet. It's highly intimidating. But even more so, when the accusation is directed against a 17-year-old girl. Talk about bullying. You know, the school system these days is all against bullying, and they're trying to scratch their heads to come up with policies that are anti-bullying policies, etc. Now, I'm not defending bullying or anything like that, but I've got to say what was done to that young lady, to Sarah, to Natalie, what was bullying. And that's the way it's meant. It's meant to be taken that this is a threat. You've committed a crime, and that's why we're sending you home. They claim that she was not sent home because she wanted to wear the traditional poppy. In fact, that would be even more lunatic. But what we have here is a classic example of the schools being used as propaganda agencies to promote the LGBTQ, the long litany of sexual weirdness agenda. Okay, here's a Romanian theater director in the United States. He's at Columbia University, and he's had it. He's quitting. And when you hear why, you're going to be disgusted. Romanian theater director explains why he quit Columbia University teaching post. Romanian theater director Andrei Serban explained on Romanian TV, the Romanian program Profesionisti, or professionals, that he quit his teaching post at Columbia University when he felt that his freedom of expression as a professor and as an artist was hindered. The director recounted two episodes that led to his resignation. On one occasion, when involved in a hiring decision, he was told that the preference was for a woman of color, that's, quote, who, if she is gay, is very good, and if he's a man, well, how can a woman be a man? Well, okay, it would be preferable to be Puerto Rican or of color. So, they're basically looking for a non-white woman. Even better if she's gay, but if it's a man, it would be good if he's Puerto Rican. What does that sound like to you? Yeah, what, like racism? Or like anti-white racism? Quote, political correctness is a sort of jaundice of America. We, the professors at the acting school where I was head, were summoned and told we need to set up a commission to hire a new professor because someone had retired and there was a place to fill. The dean of the art school told us that there are too many white professors, too many male professors, heterosexuals, and it would be better if we hired a professor who is preferably a woman of color, if she was gay, so much the better, and if a man, a Puerto Rican or a person of color, would have been preferable. Now this is what Andrei Serban, who was the theater director at Columbia University, this sort of major, very senior university. Now, let's be quite clear what it is, and he spells it out. It's anti-white, anti-male, anti-heterosexual discrimination. Now, that's the head of the acting, the acting school, their bosses. This fellow said that someone who was very good wasn't hired for the job. Professor Serban said that someone who was very good wasn't hired for the job, but a gay person of color was. Quote, it was a fair point. It was a point where I felt I was making a decision against my will and that they were not being fair. I was the head of the commission and I was accepting something because I was told to, I was ordered to. I felt as if I was back in under communism. Exactly. The free world has become more and more communistic, not economically, but socially. In fact, cultural Marxism, to a very considerable extent, rules in universities, in the media. And there was another incident. Another episode involved a transsexual auditioning for the part of Juliet. In Juliet's monologue, Juliet is a 14-year-old girl, purity embodied. It was impossible for me to believe that this boy, who had become a girl, can be Juliet. He could not have tried different roles. He could have tried different roles, other scenes. I told him I do not mind, but I do not know how he can be Juliet. At the end of the audition, the commission blamed him for not being able to accept that he was Juliet, the director said. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe that he can be Juliet. And I couldn't believe that if he was a student at Columbia, I would be able to work with this boy who'd become a girl as Juliet for 3 years. I could not. It would have been dishonest with myself if I did that. I handed in my resignation and I left. I felt sorry because all students shed a tear. Students I've been teaching for years, he explained. Now, imagine this freak. No, not the professor. This transsexual had
born a male, probably still with a penis and testicles, was transitioning, and most of this is in his own mind, into a female. And he wanted to play Juliet. Now, I'm sure most people know the Juliet in Shakespeare's famous play by that same name, Romeo and Juliet, was a somewhat precocious 14-year-old girl. And she and Romeo fall in love in a romance that is often referred to, or it's referred to in the play, as star-crossed, or unfortunate, or unlucky, because their families are feuding. Anyway, the transsexual wants to play a 14-year-old girl, and the director, Andre Serban, said it just was not believable. In fact, I heard one comment on this, which struck me as quite reasonable. Actually, it was a comment on a different but similar case in Canada. There's a play called Raisin in the Sun. It was made into a movie with Sidney Poitier, back around in 1960. And it's about a Negro family on the south side of Chicago and the tensions within the family. And so on, and holding the family together is a female, is the protagonist's mother and the grandmother, referred to as Mama, and she's a big, stout Negro woman. Now, if one put on a production of this play, would it be credible to cast a white woman in that role? I would say it wouldn't be. And that this is an artistic decision. Anyway, the director was roundly criticized for that and quit. Andre Serban is one of the best-known Romanian directors. He emigrated to the United States in 1969 and afterwards directed theater and opera productions all over the world, including San Francisco Opera, the Covent Garden Opera in London, England, the Vienna Opera, the Royal National Theatre in London, the Comédie Française in Paris, Yale Repertory, the Guthrie, Circle in the Square, Delacorte, San Francisco's ACT, and the American Repertory Theatre in Cambridge, among others. He won several Obie and international awards for his directions of fragments of a Greek trilogy at La Mama Experimental Theatre Center in New York. So he's an experienced, very well-regarded director, and what happens, conditions are made so insane for him that he quits. And, I find this absolutely appalling. And this is some of what is happening in cultural Marxist circles. Now, I mentioned last week that on Saturday the 3rd, the 2nd, Greg Johnson, who's the editor of Countercurrents and is quite a well-known white American white nationalist, was arrested as he attempted to enter the Skanza Forum in Oslo, Norway, where he was scheduled to be one of the main speakers. Greg Johnson has edited an online publication called Countercurrents and has produced a good many books over the past decade. And he was arrested and apparently as a threat to national security, largely on lying complaints made by the Antifa. And he was then deported. This is a further update. No doubt you've heard of Dr. Greg Johnson's recent arrest and deportation from Norway that occurred prior to his scheduled speech at this will be the November 2nd Skanza Forum in Oslo.
The outcome was far better than we feared. Johnson was not banned from Schengen. Now, you see, if you're banned from one country, you can end up being banned from all of the 26 countries that were signatories to the Schengen Agreement. That's an immigration agreement. And it can actually be very serious. That's what's happened to American Renaissance director Jared Taylor. He was actually not even banned from Norway. However, moreover, significant questions have arisen regarding the actual legal circumstances under which Mr. Johnson was arrested. While it's plainly obvious that his arrest was political, not much attention is being paid to the murky mechanisms by which Johnson was actually placed into custody. News broke of Johnson's arrest almost immediately after it occurred on Norwegian news outlets, specifying that police arrested him under Section 106 of the Norwegian Immigration Act. Confusion over what actually happened begins here. 106 only details the reasons for which a foreign national may be expelled on the grounds that they have deliberately provided false information or otherwise evaded the normal process of entering the country. Johnson did none of those things. He did not arrive in Norway with a fake passport, having committed a crime, or having attempted to dodge a connection somewhere elsewhere inside the airport. This detail, which is being overlooked by those glancing at one of the many news articles on the incident and satisfied by seeing some kind of legal statute pertaining to this incident referenced, was mentioned by Johnson's lawyer, John Christian Eldon. In an interview with Skanza organizer Frode Midjord, Eldon stated that Johnson was taken into custody by police under Section 126 of the same Act. This particular statute makes allowances for the government of Norway to order the removal of any person for fundamental national interests, whatever that means, you know, one of those big catch-alls, and foreign policy considerations as they relate to a particular individual's visit to Norway. In Johnson's case, this statute was invoked on account of the false allegation that he expressed support for Anders Breivik's terrorist attack in 2011, and he's not done that. Because of this, Johnson was not truly arrested in the sense of the word we usually understand in the West. He was taken into custody immediately outside the Skansa Forum venue under rules that pertain to immigration, not criminal offenses. It's curious that he wasn't stopped at the airport, where such things generally take place. Officially, Dr. Johnson was placed under detention pending removal, which the government has argued does not actually qualify as arrest or deportation, despite the fact that Johnson was being held inside a detention facility and forced to either accept a flight out of the country on behalf of the government or purchase one himself. The government also argues that he was not actually jailed, since the facility that Johnson was held inside is administered by the police and not corrections officers. I think there's a lot of legal hair splitting here. Because of this, the Norwegian government almost explicitly admits that Johnson's presence in Norway was not a crime, nor was the means by which he entered the country. While Johnson is an obvious target for persecution, the rest of us would do well to observe a few rules while traveling internationally in order to avoid troubling situations like this one, especially within Europe and the Anglosphere. Here are some suggestions that I think may be well taken. Generally speaking, signing out of your social media accounts on your cell phone and encrypting your computer's hard drive, if you're carrying one, will make it more difficult for governments to deny you entry on the basis of national security or claim that you are attempting to radicalize their populations. Avoid carrying sensitive materials like literature. Always be forthcoming, but not overly explanatory about your itinerary and intentions in the countries you visit. A simple "I'm on holiday" to customs tends to work wonders. You'll often be asked with whom you are staying on your first night. Beyond that, however, avoid mentioning the names or locations of those you're visiting. Always be vigilant in public in the event you are detained or otherwise held at a border. Your country's consul will most likely be helpful in your endeavors. Anyway, generally, fairly interesting material. Now, I mentioned this next story to several people, and one who's a good friend of mine said, "Are you sure this isn't a hoax, or I'm sorry, just a media story? I'm sorry, a false story." Well, okay, I thought that fair enough. There are fake news stories that arise. It's worth checking out. Well, I did check this out, and this is true. Clapping is to be replaced at Oxford University with jazz hands. Now, in case you're not really up on this stuff, and I'll tell you, until I saw this story on Friday, I wasn't either. I would have said, well, what are jazz hands? Jazz hands means you hold your hands palm outward, hold them up palm outward, and you sort of shake them, make a flutter movement. Okay. Students at Oxford University have voted to replace noisy appreciation with the British Sign Language equivalent, a wave of both hands. Now, noisy appreciation is generally called clapping. It's part of our cultural tradition. Union officers say clapping can be triggering for some students, including those with anxiety. Audience members are being encouraged to use jazz hands or a silent wave. And that's apparently going to be the rule at the commencement this year. The motion to mandate the encouragement of silent clapping was successfully passed by student union representatives following their first meeting of the year on Tuesday. Oxford students say alternatives to traditional applause already exist across our other organizations, and they're keen to follow suit. They hope the move will make concerts more inclusive and accessible to all. I love that word, inclusive. In order to include the tiny, tiny minority of people who are so loosely bagged that they feel nervous if there's clapping, or that they might be suddenly surprised and it would be triggered with anxiety. Frankly, if you're that messed up, stay home. I don't think there are many people like that. And I heard this discussed at some length, and there's an explanation that, well, clapping can take people with hearing disabilities by surprise and frighten them. Well, wait a sec. At a commencement or a concert, clapping generally occurs at very predictable times. Let's say the end of the concert, people clap. At the end of a play, they clap. Or at a commencement, quite often they might greet a group of people from a particular class, and once they come up to the stage and being given their diplomas or the degrees, there's general applause. So it's predictable. Sabbatical officer Royson McCallion said the policy was proposed in order to encourage the use of British Sign Language, clapping during our democratic events, to make those events more accessible and inclusive for all, including people who suffer from anxiety. Inclusivity is one of the student union's founding principles. Well, how is it inclusive to make other people feel do things that they consider absolutely weird? The move comes as the University of Manchester passed a similar motion in September last year, with students voting to ditch clapping, whooping, and cheering in favor of jazz hands. Oxford University's motion will come into action at the student union events and will later be rolled out to other societies and events if it works. A British comedian, I think, probably had the best comment on this. I would say the most sensible comment. And what he said was, we're becoming a nation of absolute daffodils. I think that's a very perceptive comment. A nation of absolute daffodils, of precious little flowers that can be driven to, I'm so upset I can barely function by clapping. You know, really. What we see here is a rapidly degenerating society. Granted, I mean, this is the freakish fringe, but I saw a prohibition against clapping and the use of jazz hands at some coverage of the Democratic Socialist Convention in San Francisco this past summer, and I believe it was in July. And they, of course, banned clapping. But at some particular moment, some people who maybe hadn't gotten the message clap, and they were reprimanded by the chairwoman, and somebody else had said they'd been triggered by the clapping. And I thought this collection of wackos and freaks, society has perhaps always had some of these people, but to the extent that this type of thing goes mainstream shows a society that is increasingly unable to look up to healthy things. And, you know, that's important. A society that is ever parsing how to include the most marginal and weird elements. And always at the expense of the majority. We're supposed to give up clapping in regards to, in preference to this silly wave of the hands or jazz hands. This is a society that is no longer forward-looking and looking to build. This is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side. You must pick up a somewhat more cheerful topic. A man who is a great entertainer who brought the Bakersfield sound of country and western music from Bakersfield, California to Nashville in the 1960s with his group, the Buckaroos, Buck Owens. A lot of his songs are comic and very spirited. This is the sound of Bakersfield, and this is Buck Owens. Thank you.
naturally. Oh, the sun's gonna shine in my life once more. Love's gonna live here again. Things are gonna be the way they were before.
Walk the streets of Bakersfield. Hey, you don't know.
God, a tiger by the tail, it's plain to see. I won't be much when you get through with me. Well, I'm a losing weight and I'm turning mighty pale. Looks like I've got a tiger by the tail. Well, I thought the day I met you, you were meek as a lamb. Just the kind that fit my dreams and plans. Now the pace we're living takes the wind from my sails. And it looks like I've got a tiger by the tail. are now at an end. The key to my heart you hold in your hand, and nothing else matters. We're together again.
Inside of me here on White Resistance Radio. Back with the game tomorrow, same time, midnight time, Eastern time. The show is repeated at 8 in the morning and 4 in the afternoon. All of those are Eastern Standard Time. And I sign off tonight, as I always do, with the anthem of the real Canada, the Maple Leaf Forever.
In days of yore, from Britain's shore, Wolfe, the dauntless hero, came and planted firm Britannia's flag on Canada's fair domain. Here may it wave our boast, our pride, and joined in love together, the thistle, shamrock, rose, and twine, the maple leaf forever. The maple leaf, our emblem dear, the maple leaf forever. God save our queen and heaven bless the maple leaf forever. At Queenston Heights and Lundy's Lane, our brave fathers side by side for freedom, homes and loved ones dear, firmly stood and nobly died. And those dear rights which they maintained, we swear to yield them never. Our watchword evermore shall be the maple leaf forever. The maple leaf, our emblem dear, the maple leaf forever. God save our queen and heaven bless the maple leaf forever. Our fair dominion now extends from Cape Race to Nootka's Sound. May peace forever be our lot, and plenteous store abound. And may those ties of love be ours, which discord cannot sever, and flourish green o'er freedom's home, the maple leaf forever. The maple leaf, our emblem dear, the maple leaf forever. God save our queen and heaven bless the maple leaf. forever.